And welcome once again to This Week in MCU, the weekly after show talking all things Marvel Cinematic Universe related. I'm Kurt, and with me, as always, is, that's right, his name is Senraven.
What am I doing here? Have I been kidnapped?
Yeah, so...
What year is this?
It's 2024. So the one thing I did want to say before we get started is that for folks who've been looking for the episodes for Loki and Marvels and What If, I apologize. The holidays and travel time at the end of the year got crazy, and we just couldn't get the time together. So
yeah, between Kurt traveling and performances and me going to TwitchCon and a couple events here and there, it just one weekend after another, something was going on.
Oh, I forgot about TwitchCon. Yeah, yeah.
That was crazy.
That was one of them. So the plan is that we're going to recap all of season two for Loki today. And we're not going to do a deep dive and pull out all the Easter eggs and everything like we usually do for this particular episode. We know we did episode one, but we're going to go back and we're going to do those after all the craziness with Marvel gets finished. So this week...
Honestly, I'm looking forward to that because I want to rewatch it.
Me too. Because so I don't think it's going to be much of a spoiler in that I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
Season two was great. So we'll recap season two today. Next week, we're going to recap the Marvels, although we may push that back in lieu of What If, but we'll see what happens because Echo starts next week.
Right.
And what I might want to do is hold off on the Marvels until it hits Disney Plus.
Okay.
Because we're already so far ahead, so far behind on it.
We might as well do a rewatch.
And do a deep dive. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, yeah. So why don't we just say that we're going to do that? That way we'll get caught up and we're going to start in on Echo next week, right after we get done with What If.
You heard it here first, folks. We got a plan.
We have a plan. Let's hope we can stick to it. Now, What If will likely be a recap for the whole season as well, because they opted to kick us right in the head and release an episode a day for 9 days.
That was fun.
Yeah. And Echo's still the same type of situation where they're giving us 5 episodes all at once.
Which is really weird. I mean, we're used to that with Netflix because that's what they started with.
Right.
But it's really weird for Disney Plus. And the weird thing is now Netflix is doing weekly.
I'm convinced that they did that with What If simply because they had a Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Because if they had given us What If weekly, we could have caught up.
Oh, sure.
We could have caught up. And then Echo weekly, easily we could have rolled into Echo. So, it is what it is. And we take what we can get at this point. So, with that, do we have any news?
Oh, I didn't look.
Okay.
I forgot, honestly. It's been so long that I forgot to look anything up. But hey, we're on the internet. Let's see if there's any news.
So I believe that we have some casting that is solid for Fantastic Four.
Yes. We do actually have Reed Richards listed as... Why am I blanking on his name? The Mandalorian is cast as Reed Richards.
Pedro Pascal?
Yeah, Pedro Pascal.
Yep.
Which, cool.
Yeah, it could be fine.
I really like him. I want to see how he does. It's better than Kylo Ren.
Yes. I still think he could have done it.
I think it would be kind of weird.
I kind of still...
I think he would have been okay.
Here's the weird part. I'm still torn on the Fantastic Four thing. Because I kind of want my Reed Richards to be older. And the reason I want him to be older is because I want him to have been around since the 60s and just away. I want there to be Val and Franklin already born and like young adults slash teenagers. Not young adults, but teenagers, basically. Middle school teenagers, somewhere in there. I don't know. I think there would be there's something cool about having Fantastic Four already be established, and I have a feeling we're going to get an origin story. You know, and so I would love for them to go, yeah, sorry, we've been hanging out in the negative zone. You know, just something like that. So,
okay. So news wise, we got big things that happened, right? Majors is out as Kang.
Is that official? Official?
That is official. Official.
Okay.
So his the trial was over. The sentence came down, and he basically got fired the same day.
Yep.
That's the big news. The other one, of course, they've retreated on how much stuff they're putting out over the next year.
Yep.
And they've stretched stuff out. We got stuff that's scheduled that was 2024 that's getting pushed back to 2025. That's fine. Focus on quality. You know, get your stuff together.
Right.
X-Men are coming. Deadpool 3 is, I think, wrapping at this point.
It was supposed to be out in May. I don't know if that's still the case, but yeah.
It is going, I believe it's going later, but there's been, like, Ryan Reynolds posted photos from the set of him in a suit and a few other folks there. Fantastic. I can't wait to see it.
Yep.
The other big news is, of course, What If Season 2 finished, and they put a trailer, clip out for Season 3.
Yes, which was crazy. Like, nobody expected that. I was
not expected at all. So that's that. Daredevil season, I believe that's the one that actually got pushed to 2025.
Yep.
So that got pushed. And we did get a leaked video of an Echo. No, from, I think it was from Daredevil. It came popped up sometime last week. There was a video, I believe it's Daredevil with Kingpin or an Echo fight. I don't remember that. We're just talking about that the other day, and I'm blanking on what it was. Well, one of the shows clip of a fight popped up, and people were talking back and forth. And I think it was a Daredevil fight. But also, Daredevil Netflix stuff is MCU canon, I guess.
Yep. That's what I'm hearing, too. So, a couple things about Deadpool 3. One, they have Elektra listed as a cast member.
Okay.
Starring Jennifer Gardner.
Of course.
So I find that interesting. I find that really interesting. We get to see Rob Delaney back as Peter. And Karan Soni as Dopinder, so maybe we finally get that Peter Dopinder buddy cop or buddy on the road movie thing. And Stefan Kapicic as Colossus, and Brianna Hildebrand as Negasonic Teenage Warhead again. And Yukio,
and of course we're getting Yukio, which is great.
Of course, Shioli Kutsuna. And Marina Baccarin
as Vanessa,
which is so awesome.
Probably either flashback. No, did he bring her back?
I think he brought her back. Yep.
I need to rewatch the second one. I don't remember it anymore.
Cause the time thing from Cable, which we don't get Cable, which is a kind of a bummer. I was kind of hoping.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah. But we do get Leslie Uggams as Blind Al again,
which is amazing because she's so good in it.
It's so good. Now, what was weird was when I Googled Deadpool 3, one of the things that came up in the list, because they usually, Google tries to give you the cast at the top of the screen, right?
Right.
Owen Wilson is Mobius M. Mobius.
Oh, are they're popping him in, right? Because there was talk that it's a TVA thing.
Well,
because he's time traveling, so he pops up on their radar.
And Tom Hiddleston is Loki, is what they show. Now that being said, cool. When I go to IMDb and look at the Deadpool,
they're not 3, on the
they're
list.
They're not on the list.
They're not on the list.
So for what it's worth,
I hope that they pop in there for like a minute.
And you know who else is showing up? Well, who shows up here? I'm not sure why. Maybe it's a flashback. Louis Tan as Shatterstar.
Oh, that's cool.
Tara Strong as Miss Minutes, which no surprise there. I mean, if they're gonna go TVA at all, you may as well put Miss Minutes in there. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, I'm just here for Marina Baccarin.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I understand. I completely understand. So there is a cast member, Emma Corrin.
Oh, that would be, I believe that's X-23 from Logan. Oh. Or am I wrong? Am I wrong on that?
No, you might be right. I didn't recognize her because she's older now.
Yeah, I believe that's the girl that played Logan. X-23 and Logan.
Rumored new details emerge about Emma Corrin's role as Cassandra Nova.
Oh, okay, then I'm completely wrong. Then who played... Okay, now I gotta bring up Logan because I don't remember who played...
X-23. Yeah.
And I know she's got stuff coming
but
up,
remember,
too.
But remember, that doesn't make any sense. Well, I guess they could make it work, but X-23, that whole thing is way in the future.
Oh, Daphne Keene.
Okay, right. So, and so they have Cassandra Nova, who, if memory serves me, I think she is an evil child of Charles Xavier. I have it.
Supervillain parent in association with X-Men. Yeah.
There's a relationship.
Became telepathically easy for you to say. Huh. Entangled with the future Charles Xavier, who possesses telepathic powers, and granting Cassandra's sensitivity. It's something with Mumudry. I didn't read those X-Men comics, so I'm not sure.
I'm looking at it. It's a Shi'ar thing. Weird. I don't know. It's
yeah. So we'll see how that rolls around.
Professor X's twisted twin sister. That's more in line. So it wasn't a kid. It was but yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it will.
Yeah.
Because look. Just because that's what the comics say doesn't mean what they're doing in the movie. So
not even a little.
Yeah. So, all right. Cool. So,
but hey, we got a bunch of fun stuff coming up. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Echo is just around the corner. Echo is what, next week?
Yes.
On the 12th?
The 9th. Which is the 9th.
On the 9th. Oh, so that's on like Tuesday.
Yes. Which is weird.
Which is super weird. So we got Echo coming up. We got Deadpool 3 coming up. We got What If in the Season 3 coming up at some point. You know, I'm not talking specific dates. Then we know Fantastic Four is coming up. X-Men is down the line. There's just good stuff coming up.
Any news on X-Men 97?
That's supposed to start pretty soon, right?
Yeah, because it was supposed to be end of the year 2023. And it got pushed back.
Yeah, because, I mean, they pushed everything back.
Right. So I can't wait for that.
I'm not seeing anything about it.
Yep. And it just says that from what I've seen, it just says sometime in 2024.
Yeah.
So, it could be that they're just going to wait for there to be a giant gap.
Yeah.
That would make sense. So, all right. So why don't we go ahead and jump into Loki, season two? So this is going to be a little weird because we usually break it down into great detail, and we're not doing that this time. So
not this time.
Yeah. So with Loki season two, we open with Loki back at the TVA, but nobody recognizes him. And as a reminder, because we did break down episode one, he's running through the TVA away from Mobius and X-15 because they don't know who he is.
Yeah, just random dude showed up inside of TVA. That's not possible.
Right. So throughout this whole thing, he's running around, and the episode ended with him hearing a ding from an elevator, and we see Sylvie coming out of the elevator, and at that point, Loki gets pruned by somebody in back of him.
She says, "There you are."
Right.
It cuts to him, and you see him get pruned from behind.
Now, I will say, at the time, this definitely felt like I have a feeling we're going to see this scene again.
Oh, yeah.
Which they do a lot of in this, particularly at the end of the season. At the end of the season, we see a lot of these early scenes from a different perspective. Which
is great because it's a time travel show.
I love time travel so much. And so when they do stuff like that, it hits me all in the right spots.
Yeah. And then this episode, was it the only one that had a post-credit scene?
There might have been one other one. There might have been one other one, but I don't recall off the top of my head. So we can't really go into a whole lot of detail about every individual episode. But I think some of the highlights for me were, one of the things that I thought was odd was we got Brad, right? Who was X-5, who basically said, screw this, I'm out of here. And he wanted to be a movie star. And so he became Zaniac. the action hero became Zaniac in the movies. Now Zaniac was a character from Marvel, really, really like F level.
Super obscure.
Super obscure. And there was actually in episode two, as we go, there's a lot of Brad and finding out like where he went to and why he took off and all that. But there were some Easter eggs that I remember from that, which were things like there was a movie poster for a movie on the wall that said Phone Ranger. And Phone Ranger actually is an obscure Marvel Comics character.
Okay.
It was terrible. Just terrible. I think he had like a helmet that was like an old timey phone handset type thing. Very bad. Very bad. But Zaniac, but Brad's just like, hey, I just want to be Zaniac, so leave me alone. Why can't I get mine?
Right.
And they just say, yeah, forget it. And so, what was interesting about all this is the whole series this time was revolving around the Loom and trying to get it under control, right? And we get Ouroboros, who not only created the handbook for the TVA, but was the one who like designed the technology, really. Well, refined the technology. Because
He Who Remains designs it, but Ouroboros is the fixer, basically. He's the repairman for the entire plate. So improved it over the years.
Yeah. So one of the things that we end up doing is going back in time to see Victor Timely. Who is basically a Kang / He Who Remains variant. And he's the one that actually designs the Loom, whether he realizes it or not at that time.
Yeah.
What I found interesting is they did a couple of flashbacks where they had Victor Timely as a kid. And,
yeah, that was actually really cool because we do get a scene of him in his room and somebody drops, and we know it's Renslayer drops a copy of the TVA guidebook into his window,
Right.
so
Now,
altering his timeline.
yeah, while Renslayer did do it, Renslayer was told to do it by He Who Remains.
Right.
So we get this whole weird. I love the fact that they use Ouroboros throughout this whole series because it really is that whole weird time loop paradox, snake eating itself type
Yeah,
thing.
and we do get a bunch of scenes of him like, oh, I don't know how to do this. Oh, wait, I remember how to do this.
Yeah, exactly. So as we go, we find out that Victor Timely as an adult is kind of a grifter and has this really cool technology but uses it to kind of rip people off by
Well, because
letting them invest.
it's what, 1800s
Yeah.
Chicago?
Yes.
So he's got a guidebook for futuristic technology that he can't make.
Right. But he can produce enough to make it look like he
Yeah.
can make it. So,
Yeah, and then people will buy into it.
right. So, throughout this whole thing, they finally get Victor Timely back to the TVA, or to the TVA, not back to the TVA, and to the TVA, and he ends up working with Ouroboros to kind of refine the technology and say, okay, so this is how we get the loom under control. Because one of the things they came up with a realization of is that the TVA was meant to prune errant timelines to basically keep the sacred timeline sacred. And I don't even know why it took them so long to realize this. But they finally realize that, oh, wait, when we prune these timelines, people die.
Yeah.
It was like, well, of course they do, because they cease to exist.
Yeah.
And so a group of people have deemed that unacceptable. And so it's like, well, how do we get the loom under control? And so Obi and Victor Timely come up with this device that is meant to control the loom.
Expand and tie in all the various branches,
Right.
which is most of the season is them trying to figure out how to make it work because it just doesn't.
Right. And what we find out, we get to a Groundhog Day episode
Yeah.
with basically Loki saying, oh wait, because Loki's time slipping throughout this whole series at this point.
Yeah, so he figured out, he actually learned how to properly do it.
Right.
We do have a whole scene with him and Kang with who
Yep.
He Who Remains, and that was incredible to watch because
It was
like
great.
you get Kang going, oh, time stop, oh, I guess you haven't figured out how to do this, and then Loki just pops out of it, goes, actually, I have.
Right. Well, that was the cool thing is when it did look like Kang was going to say, you haven't figured out how to pause time yet? And then Loki says, what makes you think this is the first time we've had this conversation?
Right.
And so it was a very Loki thing, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't see a whole lot of classic Loki generally in this
We get
series.
a little bit of we get a little bit of it in episode two when he does there's the fight with Brad
Yep.
as they're running through the streets of London. You get the whole he corners him and uses his
Illusion
extra shit,
selves, yeah.
illusion shell themselves for the fight, magic, it's unfair. Well, this is not a fair fight. Why
Yeah,
would this be?
right.
But he has one of my favorite time travel tropes in this,
What's that?
and you're time traveling. So he goes back and learns
Oh, yeah.
physics
Yep.
or quantum physics.
Yep.
And it was like, well, how long is this going to take me to learn? I don't know, 200, 300 years. And he's like, sure. And then whatever the numbers they gave,
Yep.
right?
Yep.
And he just goes and does it. So, and they don't bother showing any of it. They just go click next scene. Well, okay, so this is how this works.
Well, and what they do though is they give us a card that says centuries later.
Right, centuries later.
Which means literally Loki spent centuries repeating the day just so he could learn.
If anybody watches Doctor Who, there's an episode with Peter Capaldi from a few seasons ago where he gets thrown into this one location and he's stuck. And there's something there that kills him. I honestly don't remember all the details, but it's basically there's something right in the main room when he shows up. There's something that he talks to and it kills him. So he figures that out and then he gets away from it. But then he runs into a wall of ice.
Right.
But that wall of ice keeps chipping off every time he dies and comes back into that area. That wall of ice is less. So it takes him like 1,000 years or something ridiculous to get through it. And at the end, he goes, tell him I'm coming. And I went the long way because he went through the ice. So that totally reminded me. They did a bunch of Doctor Who stuff in a few of these episodes. And it was a lot of fun watching the Doctor Who fans freak out over What If.
Right.
Over Loki.
Yeah, yeah. So the other thing that... because it was very Groundhog Day-ish, right? I think it was it Harold Ramis that directed Groundhog Day?
Oh, that's a good question.
I don't remember. It's been a long time. But they were asked how many years did Phil repeat? How long did Phil repeat? And I think they said that it was like 250 years.
Yeah, Harold Ramis.
Yeah, I think he said that it was like 250 years worth of repeats.
Just to be able to play piano like that?
Right, right. And just become experts at everything. And, you spend that much time, you know exactly what's going to happen, and which is exactly what happened with Loki, right? He's in the lab with Obi and Timely, and he's now answering their questions. Or basically answering questions before they have a chance to even ask them at this point. And he doesn't even try to explain. He just goes, nope, we got to do this. Oh, and don't put this on the ground. It's going to roll off. Don't do this and don't do that. And you got to be quick. And all of that kind of thing, right? So we finally get to the point where we see, so Victor says, I'm going to go and I'm going to put the device in to control the loom. And he's got to go, throw it in there, hit the red button, and everything's good, right? So we even have a few, and we see that happen over and over and him failing over and over.
Yeah, he's going to be the hero. He's going to do it.
Yep. And just, turning to spaghetti. Pretty much, because we've seen that whole body gets ripped apart, turns into spaghetti. We even get a couple of shots where they just open the door and he turns to spaghetti. Now, the current theory on that is he didn't have his helmet on. So he got hit with that temporal energy right away.
Yeah.
And he gets out there and he makes it most of the way and still fails. And to the point where he always fails. Like, there's no success there. And
basically, this entire time, whatever thousands of years that Loki's been trying to do this, he's trying to make Victor the hero.
Right. Right.
The entire thing is him trying to figure out exactly how to do this correctly so Victor's the one that gets this done.
Right.
And the entire time is what it takes him to figure out that it's not Victor's story, it's his story.
Right. Which is really interesting because then we finally get, and yeah, I know we're kind of cutting to the chase, but look, it's the most memorable stuff in the whole series.
Yeah, it's so, the most fun.
Yeah, it really is. So we get, so before we even get to that though, one of the things that we find out with the whole He Who Remains and Sylvie and Loki time loop stuff is that He Who Remains has to die.
Yeah.
Like, it's like one of those things, one of the tropes in time travel stories is like there are key points in history that you can't change. They just
fixed points in time.
Fixed points
Welcome
in time.
Welcome back to Doctor Who, folks.
Exactly, exactly. And so one of those appears to be that, you know, he who remains has to die. And though, you know, the acknowledgement, though, after all of that is that he who remains tells Loki, so you know that my variants are out there now. And Loki's like, I'll hunt them down. And he goes, there's too many. He goes, so I'm still going to hunt them down. It was like there was not even a blink on Loki. He just said, yeah, so what? But we get back to the TVA and we get to the loom, trying to control the loom. And Loki realizes that he has to be the one to do it. And so not only does he go out on the platform with no suit, but
because they keep dying, so he locks everybody in, and they're actually like, no, come back, you know. And we see him just trucking down the path with no suit or anything, slowly working his way to that center console.
But while he's doing that, though, one of the cool things is that his outfit changes, and he wears the outfit from the kid Loki.
Mm-hmm.
And which transforms into what looked like, it looks like his typical Loki one with the big horns and everything. And then that changes even a little bit, and his face ages a little bit, where it makes it look more like old man Loki.
Yeah.
Now he ends up just as himself, but with that. But as he's going through, he's grabbing these strands, these dead branches from the loom, and he's injecting his Loki energy into it. He's re-energizing the loom
and weaving them together.
And what we see is the loom, go ahead.
Well, so his costume changes.
Yes,
he gets a cloak. It's all tattered behind him, and it's made out of the weaves of the loom.
Yep.
His helmet comes back up with the big horns. The costume goes purple.
Yep.
And it's just this transformation. And how much of MCU have we had now?
A lot.
How many years are we in? 23 years?
25 this year, I think.
25. The first one was, well, technically the Hulk movie was the first one.
Right,
Everybody thinks it's Iron Man, but it was the Hulk.
It was really the Hulk, yeah.
This is one of the coolest scenes I've seen in the entirety of MCU, including the Endgame battle.
Yeah, yeah, it really was quite good. And
like people be like, oh, it's not that good. If you ever read Norse mythology, if you've ever done anything, read anything about Loki, if you've done any of that stuff, this was the coolest freaking scene I've ever seen in any MCU. As he goes up and he shifts and goes into an actual Loki form, and he transforms the loom.
Yes.
And they show it sideways, and then they rotate it.
Yep.
Because he made Yggdrasil.
Yep. Yep.
He turned the loom into the Tree of Life.
Right.
With the throne in the middle, him on the throne, he finally gets his throne, and that's his greater purpose.
Right. Right. His glorious purpose.
His glorious purpose
is to create Yggdrasil. Yeah, it's the really interesting thing in that if you actually slow it down and look at things, is he's obviously he's injecting his green Loki energy into the loom to give it life. That's cool. But also we know that Loki's colors are green and gold, right?
Yep.
And the gold even flows out of him into the loom, into what turns to be a throne for him. Like it becomes this like organic throne, but it's covered in the gold that emits from him. When they finally turn the camera sideways so that we see Yggdrasil, we also see that at the ends of the branches, they're blooming as a tree of life. And Loki becomes kind of the god of stories at that point, or at least lives up to that. And he just keeps hanging on and keeps injecting life and supporting the loom because that's what it needed. Now, the question is, now what? Because the other weird part about all of this is a Loki variant. This is not our Loki.
True. Because so, our Loki dies.
Right. By Thanos, like a long time ago. Yeah. So, and so the question is, like, can you have an MCU without Loki?
Well, sure.
I think you can too. I think you can too, but I think they wouldn't. And obviously with the multiverse, you can do whatever the heck you want, right? They could bring another variant over. What I think there's an opportunity for here is to introduce Kid Loki.
Yeah, and I think that's actually probably coming up.
I agree. Because, you know, the Young Avengers thing is going to happen. We've already seen an inkling of that. And I think that... and Kid Loki is in the comics. I mean, or was, at least at one point. So there's a possibility there, too. I think that... it's going to be really interesting to see how they make this all work.
So there's a few things. Well, first of all, Kid Loki is very likely for it. To amend the previous, he doesn't make a throne for himself. He's actually walking to, I believe it's the remains of He Who Remains' castle or whatever it was. And
oh, that could be
his chair.
Yeah.
And the gold actually like just wraps around the chair, makes the throne that way. But that's just
yeah.
It's just gorgeous crap. He's gonna be working. He's basically working the timelines, right? He's keeping everything in. It doesn't mean that he can't interact with it. We don't know anything about it.
Right.
They did a quick wrap up, and this is why people were like, well, what are they going to do about Kang after Majors got fired? Mm-hmm. They did a really quick wrap up before it at the end of that episode. They basically went, TVA is keeping an eye on him, and we get a little line from Morbius back at TVA going, Mobius, not Morbius.
Yep.
saying, hey, what about the variants? Oh, one popped up in the 616 line, and they took care of him. So they're keeping an eye on it. So that's a write-off. That's gone.
Yeah.
So they don't even have to deal with Kang anymore.
Right. And that was actually literally a reference to Ant-Man.
Ant-Man 3.
Yeah. So and so they could reintroduce Kang. And the way they could do that is they could make him either an old man variant.
Or a young man.
Or a young man variant. Right,
yeah.
They absolutely could do that, and
they could recast. They won't.
Yeah, they could.
Not likely.
I think they should, but I think
I would be fine if they did. But they can just say, okay, we wrap that up, and we're just gonna go a different way because more than likely they're gonna go Doom.
Well, right, and so that's the other part of this, right? Is I think that, and we'll probably find out a lot more about it at San Diego Comic-Con this year.
Yeah.
But I think that yeah, with all of the bad PR surrounding Jonathan Majors, it's likely that they won't recast.
They don't like bad PR on anything.
Right, right.
And when Gunn had the bad PR over a 10-year-old joke, they fired him and then brought him back, what, 5-6 years later to do Guardians 3? So they just don't want bad PR on anything.
Right.
But, like, this was so well done, and it wraps up a bunch of other stuff. And then we get everybody's little scenes, right? Because we get the hunters doing their stuff, and everybody at TVA in the office working together. Mobius goes back. Cause we had a couple episodes where everybody just went, like, Loki's finding them in their own timelines and bringing them back together. Right. So Mobius goes back to his timeline to basically check in on his kids, and you know, nice little moment there. He gets to go see his house,
right?
And then we get a shot of Renslayer popping up somewhere, because we don't see where, but the sky is purple.
So she's at what they call it in season one, where Aelioth was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So she pops up over there, and pretty much was confirmed that she gets eaten by the monster, because there's nothing there to stop him.
Right. Yeah. Maybe she gets eaten. We don't know.
There's no end on it, but that's basically like people were talking with the director, and he's like, yeah, so she popped up over there. Right. Good luck.
Yeah. So the other thing that we see is there's a shot of under some of the overgrowth on that planet. There's the disc from the TVA that says for all time, always. It's literally on the ground. So one of the thoughts is that maybe that dumping ground is where all the destroyed TVAs end up going. Because when their timelines get destroyed and recreated, that's where they go. Because one of the things we did learn was the TVA has been around forever and will continue to be around forever and will continue to get destroyed and recreated forever. So the other thing that was interesting about everybody at the TVA was you see the judges and the engineers and the hunters and everybody kind of working together rather than in their own factions. And you see the triptych picture up on the wall of not just Kang, but also the three time masters
or robots.
Time robots. Basically under the whole guise of, well, we don't want to forget. You know, we know that everything, all this happened. All this really happened. We're not going to cover it up anymore.
Cover up our history.
Right. So I thought that was very interesting. I think the TVA is going to be key to the future until the entire MCU is combined with the Fox characters and with whoever else they need to bring in. You know, Sony and primarily, you know, the X-Men and those guys. I think the TVA is going to be...
I think this is how they're going to bring it together.
Yes, exactly. So, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. But one of the things that the director did say about Loki was it was always intended to be a two-part book. Season one, season two, you know, we told the story.
And that's it. And done.
Yeah, and done. So,
and people are like, is there going to be season three?
Probably
like, please,
not.
No.
Yeah. And there really shouldn't be.
Like, as much as I loved it, I didn't want to see season three. They wrapped up the story.
Like, if you want to do
it, it was beautifully done. Loki's story is done.
If you want to do a Sylvie story.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe that's the direction, right? We were talking about Kid Loki. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's Lady Loki.
That'd be cool.
Which they did in the comics too.
Yeah.
So maybe it's her. Maybe we get her in the MCU to pick up the mantle. I'd be good with that. I think it'd work. She's a good enough actress, clearly.
She's a great actress, and it's a different angle.
Yes, and she's a different kind of Loki, right? She definitely, yeah. So I thought this was a wonderful wrap up. When he's creating Yggdrasil, right? The other thing you see in the sky behind the tree and everything. Little purple cracks.
Yeah. Basically, like the crown of the tree is all purple strands with little flashing lights.
Yep.
And the center is green, and that's where he is.
Yep.
And it, you get the roots down below a little bit. And I want this as a giant pose. Like, I want that shot of Yggdrasil. And I've seen a lot of different shots of Yggdrasil. I want that one as a big poster.
Yeah, yeah.
That coloring looks so good.
The other thing is, back at the TVA, after that all happened, if you look on the monitor that monitored the loom, it's now sideways, too. Like they're showing the they're showing the it all sideways. So it was, you know, it was very cool. It was very, very cool. I was so happy that this series went the direction it did because, look, I am not the hater of Secret Invasion that other people are, but we needed something excellent.
Yeah, I enjoyed Secret Invasion, but that ending.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Should have been better.
I agree. I agree. And the problem, the because I went back and I reread the whole comic arc of Secret Invasion after the series ended, just because I wanted to kind of find out where things veered off. And the problem with Secret Invasion is it was too big to be a miniseries like that.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
You know, Skrulls with unlimited power infiltrating the world can't be wrapped up in 8 episodes because the damage that the see, that's the problem. They didn't, it wasn't a big enough scope for it.
Right.
They had to limit it because it's TV and it's Marvel.
Well, the thing TV. Is, like, they had to limit it because it's TV, but they couldn't do it as a movie or a series of movies because nobody would care.
Right. Well, but they also, like, one of the big things in the comics was the heroes who were duplicated by the Skrulls and kidnapped by the Skrulls. And why it all happened was because the Illuminati, who we got a little flash of in Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, but different Illuminati.
Yeah.
But the Illuminati went to the Skrull.
The weak Illuminati.
Right. They went to the Skrull homeworld to take them out.
And they really? And I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, and they got caught. And so this was revenge. And this was revenge planned over decades.
Huh.
And so when Secret Invasion was happening, or before Secret Invasion even happened, they, you know, the Skrulls did all kinds of research. How can we duplicate these powers? How can we do this? How can we duplicate everything without getting caught? So they put the Skrulls that they gave, let's say, Black Bolt's powers to. Well, they basically made that person feel, or made that person believe they were Black Bolt until a keyword like Winter Soldier happened.
Okay.
Right.
So brainwashed until activated.
So when they got hit by, you know, psi scans, they couldn't. They thought they were that character. So right. So they couldn't be detected, which is what made the Secret Invasion even that much more insidious. And but how do you portray that in a short TV series?
Yeah.
And you only took out Rhodey.
Yeah, you got one hero.
One B-level hero, ooh, really?
Yeah, B-level hero.
I mean, in the MCU end of things.
I mean, they didn't take him out because he was a hero. They took him out because he had so much access.
Right. So we've seen a lot of talk lately about bringing back Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans as Iron Man, Captain America in some way. There's been a lot of talk about that. Skrulls is how you do that.
Yeah, okay.
You could have easily done that and have Tony and Cap come back and go, so yeah, we were kidnapped. What happened? because one, we know there are Skrulls still on Earth.
Yes.
Two, we also know that the American government said, if you're not from Earth, we're coming for you.
Oh God.
I know.
It was so stupid.
It was, well, it can pay off in a, because it can get totally ugly. But
well, like, just Thor can just go, what do you mean coming for me? Go ahead.
Right, right.
And wreck the entire government.
Well, yeah, so all the Asgardians, the Eternals, there's a lot, right? So while they could make that payoff, I have a feeling they're going to just ignore it.
Yeah, I think so too.
which is a little bit of a bummer because I'd love to see that payoff, but it's probably the right
decision. I'm still waiting for them to, like, we've gotten a couple of mentions of it, but I'm still waiting for them to do anything about the dude sticking out of the middle of the earth.
Yes. Yep. From the Eternals. I still think.
Yeah.
So the rumor that I had heard, I think, is as good as any.
That was going to be Sokovia? Not Sokovia. Sorry.
Genosha?
Genosha.
Yeah. And that's where adamantium's going to come from. That's the other thing that I heard. So, we'll see how that all works out. But, all right, I think that's pretty much all we can do in terms of wrapping up that series without doing deep dives on every episode.
Yeah.
So, if you want to follow us, you can follow us on twitch.tv/VOByKurt. And if you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can go to Podcasters. Look for us on Spotify Podcast, tiny.cc/TWIMCU, This Week in MCU, because it's not Anchor anymore. It's all Spotify. Or just look for This Week in MCU in any of your podcatchers. If you have any,
and not Google Casts,
right?
Unfortunately,
right. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, send an email to thisweekinmcu@gmail.com. And if you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we will read it next time we record, which will be next week. And with that,
yes.
Senraven, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on twitch.tv/Senraven. Usually. Weekday evenings and then Sunday morning. So just come by, say hello. We got at least a few listeners of the show that pop into the chat, say hi. Hi, Nemesis! So, just a shout out. So yeah, come on by, say hello, and let me know what you think or don't think of the show. If you don't like it, then don't come over.
Right. So you can find me everywhere at VO by Kurt. Most of the time, I am on TikTok and Instagram at this point. Chronicling my weight loss journey, and we wrapped up towards the end of the year season one of Plus Size Stories, where I tell people's weight loss journeys and allow them to tell their own stories. And I'm also one of the co-hosts on Wise and Nerdy, which is on Twitch every Thursday evening. So with that, we will see you next time.
Hi, everybody.